Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Welcome to another segment of Center Stage. Today's show is about Oprah, a biography, the book that was written by author Kitty Kelly about Oprah. Well, I read this book back in April, all 500-plus pages of it, and I found the book to be a very interesting read. The author is brilliant at taking you on a journey, showing you exactly what she wants to show you, and she's very good at her research. Kitty Kelly has written about famous people before, the Bushes, and a lot of very famous people, people that you would not typically challenge, but her research typically stands by itself, and I think she's never actually successfully been sued So that speaks a lot for itself. But after reading, or actually I did not intend to even buy the book. I didn't even intend to read or buy it. But I did want the interview from Vernon Winfrey, Oprah's father, and I went after it. This journalist went after it. I contacted Mr. Winfrey and was able to speak with him directly. He made it clear that he was not going to give me a comment, even though this journalist did push a little bit, but he was very firm, yet still polite in saying that he did not choose to give a comment. But he did refer me to a number, which I very reluctantly took, because I felt like if I was referred to the second number, that I probably wasn't going to get any answers. But he was very clear on if I wanted to get anything, I would need to talk to whoever was going to be at the end of that number. After calling the number, I spoke with someone who basically identified themselves as Barbara Winfrey, and she identified herself as Mr. Winfrey's wife. I proceeded to try to convince her to give me an interview with Mr. Winfrey. We had several conversations. The first conversation was 10 minutes. This journalist thought she had really gotten somewhere when she got 10 minutes. And then I asked her, could I call her back? And I proceeded to speak with her a second time, about 30 minutes. The third time, about an hour. So I really thought I was getting somewhere. And then she said to me, had I read the book? And she felt that if I was going to get the interview, I needed to indeed at least read the book. So this journalist ran out, got the book, read the book. Then I talked to her a fourth time, in which we talked 2 hours. And the last conversation was a three-hour conversation. I didn't really feel like I necessarily was going to get the interview after the fifth conversation. I talked with her at length about the book. I talked to her at length about Mr. Winfrey and asking her different questions about, you know, whether or not he had stated the things that were actually said in the book that he said. That was he coerced in any way? What was his motivation for doing the interview? I even told her that, you know, in speaking with Mr. Winfrey, if he indeed would give me an interview, that I would feed her the questions first. I actually emailed them to her, trying to let her know that I would hold up to my end of the bargain. We even talked about me coming to Nashville and doing the interview. But none of that ever materialized. But I'll give you an idea of some of the questions that I actually was going to ask. And I made it clear that, you know, I did not want to paint Mr. Winfrey in a bad light at all. In fact, what I wanted to do was get a better understanding. I think, and it was an understanding that everybody really wanted was, you know, what was his motivation for doing the interview, or was it, you know, an older man who had somehow held an innocent conversation with someone, and then somehow kind of way that conversation was taken to another level. That was the angle in which I thought the interview would proceed from. And some of the questions that I asked or emailed her were, has he misquoted in any way in the new biography about Oprah that was written by Kitty Kelly? The second question was, were the comments you made to Kitty Kelly in any way intended to hurt Oprah? I also went on to say, were you in any ways compensated by Kitty Kelly, people representing Kitty Kelly, or the publisher? The fourth question was, is there any truth to what Kitty Kelly stated in her book concerning Oprah not being Mr. Winfrey's biological child? Fifth question was, are you and Oprah currently on speaking terms with one another? I went on to say, in what way did Kitty Kelly represent herself, and did she later go back on any promises that she had made to him? Because I was just really trying to get a good understanding of the basis in which Kitty Kelly had approached Mr. Winfrey, trying to understand if sometimes older people tend to talk. They just talk. They just, you know, they're friendly, and sometimes in their friendliness, people can get them to say things or divulge information that typically they wouldn't say to a stranger. So I was really trying to get an understanding, you know, if that is what indeed happened. The seventh question was, are you regretful that you gave Kitty Kelly such a candid interview? Question number eight, have you heard from Oprah since the book was released? Question number nine, do you have any plans yourself to write a tell-all book? So those were the questions, or that was the majority of the questions that I sent to Barbara Winfrey. After getting those questions, things kind of took a turn, which I kind of felt meant that I was not going to get the interview. But I did read the book as a result of Barbara Winfrey asking me, had I read it. But what I found after reading the book, as I stated, Kitty Kelly is a brilliant writer. Her book takes you on a journey. She takes you down the path that she wants to take you down, and you go there with her. But the research, as incredible as it was, she found people that were friends, family members, ex-employees, ex-friends that appeared to have given information about Oprah that I'm sure Oprah would not have wanted them to. But for whatever reason, whatever their motivation was, they did. The research proved to me, though, that Oprah was smart. She's very focused. Proved to me that she was dedicated, driven, and shrewd. She seems to also know how to detach herself from bad relationships. And I thought that was something we all could learn from. It appeared in the book, if you crossed over, she just stopped returning your call. And I learned something from that because I think I'd heard her say on her show once that Maya Angelou told her, once somebody shows you themselves the first time, don't make them show you themselves again. So that, I thought, was probably how she did that or the reason in which she was able to, once she found out you had crossed her, to just move away from you. I also saw in the book how she built a brand, how she learned to take control of her entire name. At some point, this brilliant lawyer that she had, who was absolutely just a phenomenal mind, taught her how to look at Oprah in terms of the totality, everything around her, you know, her pictures and her image and everything that said Oprah owns, which is brilliant, you know, her production company and all those other things. That was a mastermind, and it showed how they together started off in Chicago and just built this incredible brand, and I learned a lot from that. Now, the funny thing I learned in the book that was just, you know, it's just a, you know, piece of trivia, but it's so true and it's so funny, is that Oprah has a confidentiality agreement that she has all of her employees sign, and that the confidentiality agreement is so tight that I would think if I was an Oprah Winfrey employee, I'd rather bite a hole in my lip than divulge anything that goes on at Harpo. And I'll give you an idea of what the confidentiality agreement says. Now, this is just part of it. This isn't all of it. This is just some of it. And but I think she had her reasons for it, and I think as you're moving up the ladder, sometimes you have to, if you are trying to get somewhere, know that you can trust those that are around you. And the confidentiality in part says this. It says, the phrase confidential information as used in this policy includes but is not limited to any and all information which is not generally known to the public, related to or concerning A, Ms. Winfrey, and or her business or private life, B, the business activities dealing or interest of Harpo and or its officers, directors, affiliates, employees, or contractors, or and or Harpo employment practices or policies applicable to its employees and or contractors. So in close, with the confidentiality agreement, it just looks like she took no chances that, you know, somebody could say they slipped up or they didn't mean to say or they didn't know. She just kind of put it out there that if you do, open your mouth, there's going to be hell to pay. But I think what I saw in reading the book was that she was an incredible mind in terms of there was competition all around Oprah. Oprah outlasted Joan Rivers, and, you know, at one time Joan Rivers was on the top of her game. Jenny Jones was a lovable, likable personality in which everybody just kind of felt like they knew Jenny Jones. Ricky Lake was, you know, the somewhat heavyset white girl that could walk up and hug anybody and just felt like she was like your best friend or your neighbor. And she had a nice reign, but Oprah outlasted her. Montel Williams, another one that did well for a while, but, you know, was not able to outlast Oprah. Remember Geraldo? Geraldo, what can we say? Geraldo looked like he just brought it to you. Every show, he gave you tidbits of information that you just didn't know. He was just an incredible investigative type program that, you know, you wanted to tune in because he was always on the cutting edge of some story that we all wanted to know about. And then Morton Downey Jr., he's also gone. So to Oprah, big ups. I mean, she's a bad girl, and she's someone who's earned her place, you know, as queen of talk. I mean, she's been a lasting force in an industry that has seen so many come and go. But it seemed like, from reading the book, that Oprah started out with a rocky past. I mean, her beginning was really shaky. But somehow she found strength and turned lemons into lemonade. I would say that Oprah is a true survivor. I mean, to and you'd have to read the book, and I'm not encouraging anybody to read the book, and I'm not I haven't even invited the author. I'm just kind of commentating from what I found the book to be about. I'm not advocating that you go and buy the book. But what I found is that the research, as extensive as it was, proved a lot of things, but also it didn't prove a lot of things, and I'll talk about that later. She showed in her research clear examples of how Oprah overate. Some of them I thought very mean-spirited in some of the stories that she told of people that had to be pretty close to Oprah to tell these stories. And yet, I really looked at it for what it was and realized that wasn't a story because Oprah herself has told us about her overeating. She's over the years showed us of her struggles with overeating. She's had, you know, the liquid diets, and she's had, you know, the exercise programs in which she exercised every day. And, you know, we've seen her, you know, calorie count and all these types of things. So over the years, we know that Oprah has had an eating disorder, as do most of us. I mean, eating is something that most of this country has an issue with. So I really didn't feel like the different stories that they showed or the different stories that were shown in the book were fair necessarily. I think that's such a private struggle. And I think for someone to put it out there and show specific instances where people were present with you when you overate and they, you know, gave the most minute detail of how that played out, I thought that was somewhat in poor taste. But that's my opinion. Oprah wasn't necessarily, in this book, per the way it reads, close to her family, or isn't necessarily close to her family, but it gave examples of reasons that you can understand why. A lot of times it seemed that Oprah's had hurt that went back, like, to her childhood. In her childhood, it showed that for whatever reason, early on, Oprah struggled for acceptance. I don't know. It didn't clearly define how there was a difference between her siblings before she left her mother's house. But obviously she sent something. You know, her mother was poor and struggling to make it. And Oprah was a bit much for her to deal with. She had a sister and a brother. Both of them are now deceased. But Oprah's mother and her struggle from early on with their relationship, and at some point in the book it shows that Oprah just got to a point where it was a standoff between her and her mother. And I think her mother felt that the best thing for Oprah to do was to go and live somewhere else. She tried the juvenile court system, it appears, but at the time in which she took Oprah to the juvenile court system, they were backlogged, or the paperwork was going to take 2 weeks or whatever, and she felt the situation with Oprah was so immediate that Oprah had to leave the home right away. Then she resorted to contacting family members or whoever that she thought that could take Oprah. And I can see as a child that would feel like a betrayal. I can see as a child that you would feel abandoned by your mother, despite how you might be acting out and the things that you might be doing. You never expect your mama to turn her back on you. So I can see how Oprah probably took that as a hurt that went deep. And I can see how success, money, things can't fix that hurt. And so for those who maybe sometimes may judge Oprah, I think, and again, I'm not advocating you buy the book, but I think if you understood a little better from what Kitty Kelly's research says, if it's indeed true, that there was a lot that went on that Oprah has been very candid about her past and has opened up and been pretty transparent about a lot of things. But I think some of those hurts from her past, those wounds were still so open that she couldn't possibly be transparent with her audience about. And I think most of us, no, I say all of us, have things in our past that we wouldn't tell other people if we had the choice. We would keep our past a secret. And so I cannot say that I blame her for that. And so in her not being as close to her family as people might think she should be, they would have to understand where maybe that came from. Her sister, it appears, got on drugs. And at times after Oprah had been extremely good to her sister, I would think, in terms of taking care of her. Her sister was on drugs, and when it came to a point in which I guess the sister did not feel Oprah was doing as much as she could do, the sister turned to the tabloids and sold a story about Oprah. So I can see then how you would not necessarily want to be close to that sister. It talked about in the book how a favorite aunt had said things over the years that weren't so kind about Oprah, and no matter how much money you may get or how many things you get or how often, you know, you're praised by the world, your family unit is still what you think should be intact, in terms of if nobody has your back, you would still think that your family does. And I think, too, another reason that maybe she isn't as close to her family is the story of being molested by family members as a child. some of the family members, it appeared, did not believe Oprah. And part of the research is in this book, that some of them questioned, you know, whether or not Oprah was actually being honest. You know, maybe she was making this up. And I think in the situation of a molestation, I think you should never just assume that the child is not being truthful. I think whether it proves to be a lie later down the road, it would always be wise to at least investigate and make certain that what is being said doesn't have any truth to it or does have truth to it. The investigation should always be the case. And so I think the book showed that the family was dysfunctional in many ways, and because of that and some of the things that happened, that probably altered how Oprah's relationship with her family was. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to get the interview from Mr. Winfrey, because of all the people that had said things about Oprah in the past, Mr. Winfrey was one that hadn't. In fact, Mr. Winfrey, it appears, how this Kitty Kelly book came about, from what I'm understanding from the book and from things that were said to me by Mrs. Winfrey, is that Mr. Winfrey, in fact, was writing a book. And it appears that Oprah was out of town somewhere on some type of tour or something. And it appears that a reporter said to Mr. Winfrey, said to Oprah Winfrey, not Mr. Winfrey, I'm sorry, to Oprah Winfrey about Mr. Winfrey, did you know that your father was writing a book? And she said, my father, Vernon Winfrey, writing a book? That's impossible. If any, and I'm paraphrasing here, but if anybody in the world is not writing a book, it's my father. My father is not writing a book, because she just knew that she knew that she knew that Mr. Winfrey would never write a book. And so she went on and continued her trip wherever it was, and then when she came home, she called her father, and she said to Mr. Winfrey, Dad, they say some reporter said something crazy to me. He said that you were writing a book. And that's when her father said, it's true. And it appears that that's, you know, when things went haywire, because Oprah said, you know, Dad, believe me, nobody wants to read about your life. What they really want you to do is tell them about me, which in reality, I can see both sides. I really can. I can see that Mr. Winfrey wanted to tell a story about him growing up in Mississippi and how he was able to survive despite coming from a large family and moving to Nashville, and how all of the, you know, the things were back when black people weren't treated so well. I can kind of understand that. But I can also understand equally that Oprah would realize that he was an older man and that people would manipulate what his intentions were and turn it to be about Oprah, because the book could not be complete without him talking about Oprah. And so Oprah was wise enough, I believe, to believe that if you do any kind of book where I'm going to be mentioned, what's going to happen is it's going to really be a book about Oprah Winfrey. And so a rift began, and it appears that her friend Gail also contacted Mr. Winfrey and said some things that were hurtful. And basically, I think, I don't know that she intended to do it. I believe Gail is to be a nicer person than that. But I think what she was trying to do is protect her friend and at the same time show Mr. Winfrey that, I think she came off as saying you're a nobody and that nobody wants to hear what you say. You know, it's just really all about Oprah. But I think it just came off in a way that it was so hurtful to him that it just caused a rift. And so it appears that what happened was Mr. Winfrey was shopping his book. He was trying to get a book deal, so he was shopping with different publishers. And it seems like somebody tipped Kitty Kelly off, who's very good at writing tell-all books, that he was trying to do this. And then Kitty Kelly went to Mr. Winfrey, and some kind of way was able to go directly to him and get him to speak to her. Now, under what pretenses? Million-dollar question. But she was able to get Mr. Winfrey to say certain things about Oprah, and then she took what he said and did her own research and found other things out about Oprah. And then, from what I understand, there we have Oprah, A Biography by Kitty Kelly. And so I think that the book itself, you know, 500 pages, probably didn't need all 500. But as I said, the writer is very brilliant at taking you on a journey. So she took you on the journey. It took her 500 pages to get you there. And there's don't get me wrong, it's a book that I'm glad I bought, because doing this type of show, it taught me the things that Oprah did brilliantly, and then it told me also things that Oprah did that probably weren't so smart. But I think that's the trial and error in getting it right. And so it gives somebody like me a voyeuristic look into how to get it right. But probably Oprah wouldn't want this book to be out there simply because it leaves someone of her stature left to appear to be not having been truthful in the past about everything, and maybe, you know, to look like, wow, I can't believe she did this or she did that. But I would say to Oprah, he without sin cast the first stone. And so I think one of the things that she said after this book was put out was, this too will pass. And I agree with that, because I think the book proved that being separated from her mother and the drug abuse that the book says that happened, alleges happened, the bad relationships that she had been in, even her acting out as a child sexually, it didn't stop her. The woman had an incredible motivation. And so to that, I say kudos, Oprah. I'm going to go to the phone lines. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, the number is 347-850-8390. Again, if you'd like to weigh in on this topic, the number is 347-850-8390. We're going to go to 484. Welcome to Center Stage. Good afternoon. Hello. Hello. You seem to have lost the caller, and I apologize, caller. I'll try to pick you up later if I can. But the book was clear on many, many fronts, I think, on showing that despite what all Oprah went through, she had a way of always finding inner strength. She found a way of maintaining her focus, even in her darkest hour. This book, she still came back in a couple of days and was on the air and doing her show. I find that phenomenal. A lot of people probably wouldn't have even been able to survive. The book shows times when people that were close to Oprah sold stories to the tabloids. I just think that had to be hurtful because, you know what, there was a time in which you always saw Oprah on the tabloids, and you would wonder, well, how did they know she was going to be here and how did they know she was going to be there? The research in the book shows that there were people that she had working for her that were actually feeding the tabloid these stories. Let's try to go back to the phone lines. 484, we're going to try you again. Hey, welcome to Center Stage.
Yes, thank you, thank you. My pleasure to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and yourself?
Very good, very good. Blessed living. You know, that makes me happy. I was listening to the topic of talking about Oprah and her life. Oprah had an amazing struggle, so I didn't even, you know, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, the book is very candid.
Mm-hmm.
in talking about, and I'm not putting out all of the things that are out there because in the book, because.
Hello?
And I like Oprah, and I don't want to give this book, this.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like she's been beat up enough about it. I think.
Uh-huh. Hello?
For me to look into your life and say, wow, this guy was this and this guy was that, when you can't have this into my life. And so for that reason, I don't choose to really go into all the crazy details of the book.
Right.
Beg your pardon?
No. I said right. It makes perfect sense. No, please continue.
Yeah. And so I just found that, you know, the book is easy to pick on someone when they're a giant. You know, and start picking apart every aspect of their life. But if someone was to go and peep into your bedroom or your life, you know, they may find even worse. So you have to be careful. You know, Kitty Kelly has been very successful at talking about people who are very successful. And for whatever reason, she's never been sued. She's absolutely never been sued. She's never had to pay out one penny. So that kind of tells me that she does do thorough research, but at the same time, I would want to have that as a way to make my living. You know, are you an Oprah fan?
I'm in between. I mean, I would honestly say that, you know, she has a good heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, I respect her. I respect her, honestly. You know, because of being African American. You know, but I mean, honestly, I just have to say she has a good heart. And she does good work, you know, but, you know what I mean? I think she's a good representation for our people, you know, general world. But I would just say, you know, like, sometimes I just feel like the media, it can push her too far. I mean, I feel that Oprah has a good heart, and she is a good person, you know.
I think, you know what, so often, every time something happens, people want to say, well, what did Oprah do? You know, Oprah is not the spokesperson for black people. You know,
right.
I've been told that by people before that Oprah was great. That was the most ridiculous comment that I ever made. Oprah's human, and she's flawed just like the rest of us, and she's just a successful person, and she's been brilliant in her money.
Right.
But we can't put the burden of everything that goes wrong with black people on Oprah. You know, every time and he's put outside, then Oprah should give him money because Oprah's got money. Or if somebody needs to go to college, Oprah could give him money because Oprah's got money. That's the wrong attitude.
Well, that's not, I mean, honestly, obviously, that's not how I look at it, honestly, Terry. I really don't look at it in the sense of that person representing black people, but I do think the reality of it, to me, I think one of the problems with black people in America, well, not, is that we are really so divided by names and titles. We do not want to connect any of our people, or our leaders, or our people that represent us in a positive light. And I'm saying this with all respect, and I'm meaning that I, like, to me, maybe I can sound wrong. When I have a picture, I can put a picture of Martin Luther King in there, I can put President Obama, I can put Oprah in there, I can put Bill Cosby in there. And I think that in African-American homes, we should start having you get what I'm saying? I feel if you have other nations that they have grateful people, and not just that, the average successful African-American person that is pretty much doing things. I feel that this is just the time to show the black people of this country. We deserve a lot of love. And to me, I'm not saying it in the sense of racial ignorance, but I'm saying it in the sense of that I've seen it for a long time where I see other nationalities, other different race nationality, where they would have leaders, talk show hosts, and, you know, they would get credit. But then, like, when it comes towards, you know, black people, our people, when it comes to, like, one of our spoke hosts, or one of this, it's always some iffy and. Like, to me, give yourself the credit, meaning that, you know, I don't mean to say it in the sense, you know, we don't even like the word sister or brothers, but, you know, the sister Oprah, that's what I call her, you know. To me, not only is she a beautiful person, but she's a strong representation of what we all can do. So, I mean, to me, I'm not, you know, I don't like to say it in the sense of tears, in the sense of, you know, like, you know how it goes with us in our history. You know, we want to run away from it, but what I'm saying in a sense is I feel that we definitely need black empowerment, and Oprah, Obama, Bill Cosby, certain images on those televisions, so it brings in a certain spirit of motivation in black people. So I just feel that, and I really say that, I say it all, and this is not to disrespect anyone else, but I just feel like we need that sense of motivation for that next little girl that says I want to be a show host, that next little boy that says I want to be the president of the United States, that next little black boy that says I want to be the governor. We need examples like that. So now we can turn to our children and say, you know what, you can be whatever you want to be. That's what Oprah represents.
And I agree with you, caller, because someone said on the last show that if they take all of our black leaders and then they paint them in a bad light, and I'm not calling Oprah a leader, but I'm just saying she's a representation of someone that's black and has made it. So if they take all of those people and they paint them in a bad light, who do we look, you know, to as examples of how, you know, we can make it? You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, you know, the reason why I say that, you know, me personally, you know, I'll be honest, you know, I've always been, honestly, since I've been a spiritual brother, you know, I've been a historian, scholar, you know, and I've also, you know, always led towards, you know, revolutionary studies, you know. Me personally, when I say revolution, I always say changing the spirit of mind and the awareness and consciousness of the person. I don't mean revolution in the sense of hurting anybody, but I was never anti-war. And what I'm saying is that I caught a lot of grief from a lot of different brothers and sisters for having a show, you know, where we speak on it, we speak on it how we see it. I mean, you know, the point is that coming together, we have different groups of African-American people that represent certain sides. For example, if you have one brother that's a revolutionary, and he speaks on his vision of not liking America, you would have another organization of black people that will sit back and condemn him, right? But then at the same time, it's almost like, for example, the difference between Malcolm X and the difference between Martin Luther King. And I have to touch on this. This is the same thing you got between Oprah and the same thing you got for the Trump. When you look at it as a whole, like, I feel we have to stop. It's like, how can most of our people run away from anything that's pushing in the sense of truth? Anything that pushes in the sense of looking at things how they really are, you ever know, you know, that they will push away from it. So what I'm saying is, to make that story short, Mr. Chair, what I'm saying is that I personally look at our school since we've been over here. And I know honestly what we have been through on a day-to-day basis. So for the black people of this generation who are the children of all of those great leaders, I feel, and same thing with Black History Month, I always speak on that too because I feel that has to become, it's a cultural, it's a beautiful thing. Oprah does not represent just the black face. We don't represent a color, we represent intelligence. Okay. And years and years, not of suffering, not of just slave, we've been here way before that now, but we represent intelligence and possibilities and hope. So, and even with Barack Obama right now at this point, I also believe that this is a very important statement of America, that black men, yes, they have intelligence. I'm not saying it in the sense of, because today it's called reverse racism. If you comment personally as a black person to another black person, you see a mayor or you see a teacher and you want to say that I'm so proud of you, And that Africa and the ancestors, they're going to bless you. And that if the leaders were alive who fought for our freedom in this country, they would be so proud of you. Every time you do something to help one of your brothers or sisters out here in the world, you see, what they've taught us, America, they've taught us not to relate to one another and whatnot. You know, and what's amazing is that we are literally one of the largest majority people in this country, even though that's quietly under test. 40 million, you figure, and outside, 11 to 1 with average, you know, European Americans. So what I'm saying is that if we are the majority, because I've heard this before, different black people arguing, the government's not doing this, we complain about so many different things, but do we actually realize that we have a whole world economy, we got a whole world system, we got brothers and sisters all over the place. I'm calling you from Philadelphia. We have brothers in Chicago, Detroit, and I travel state to state. I'm a political activist. I work in the community. We deal with police. we deal with narcotics, we deal with drugs, and we teach a lot of our young brothers about law and black-on-black violence, peace, and we also teach them ways of how to be able to create employment for themselves and their families, which is something that's not happening here in the U.S., you understand? So what I'm more focused on is not only empowering the black man and black woman, but to a sense where we can talk about it and not feel like we're, and not feel like we're being racist. I'm talking about a form, a normal, because that's how they have it now. If you was asking them as a woman, you said, I love Oprah, sometimes you might have a white person, they might say, hey, that's racist. Now, how is it?
Right. And Colin, you know what? You're so right. And I thank you so much for your comment. Because what you're exactly right. We really got to look at things from a different perspective sometimes. We really do. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I have like 14 minutes left in this segment. And I want to tell you guys what I found that the book did not prove. I didn't feel like, and I think Kitty Kelly went at it pretty hard, but I don't think she proved it. To me, when you make a strong accusation, prove it. If you're going to make a strong accusation against someone, at least be able to find one person that can give you definitively an example of how they know without a shadow of a doubt that a certain thing exists. In the book, I thought they kept trying to prove that Oprah was gay. They alluded to her having a really close relationship with Gayle King. But what I found that it showed was Oprah could be very generous to the people that she loves. You know, people, I think she finds Gayle to be a sense of strength. I think she finds Gayle to be someone that she can trust and that she knows is going to be there for her. And I think she feels the same way about Gayle, that she will always be there for Gayle. And I think sometimes people, not just black people, white people, brown people, but people rarely find other people in this life that they can have that kind of bond with. And so most friendships, they come for a season and they pass on. But I think people in general don't understand friendships that last as long as their friendship has lasted. I think people don't understand the journey that they've taken and that despite whatever has gone on, they've maintained their friendship. And that, you know, you never hear anything negative about their friendship. And the only thing that people can ever really come forth and say is that they're very close. And so I must admit that they do have an unusually close bond with each other. I haven't ever had a friend that I've been that close to, but I would never go on a limb and just assume that because I have it, that it doesn't exist. And so I think Kitty Kelly took us on a journey about this friendship, and she found different instances in which people could state how close they saw them being and you know, the fact that they traveled together a lot and, you know, they were, you know, hanging out all the time and they did most things together, but that does not prove that someone is gay. And I thought that was a point that was not proven, in my opinion, in the book. And also, another thing, it didn't prove that Mr. Winfrey wasn't Oprah's father. I think she, you know, gave us, you know, a situation in which, you know, it could be this situation or it could be that situation, but she did not, to me, without a shadow of a doubt, prove that Mr. Winfrey wasn't. And I think to put that out there to someone, that's hurtful. I think, to me, that was a piece of evidence that, or a piece of research, not evidence, but research that probably could have been left out of the book, because unless you're willing to say that I got a blood test or, you know, the mother has told me that this isn't the father or the father stated to me, you know, to me, you know, that he wasn't, I think it's wrong to say, you know, that you heard through the grapevine that he may have said. I thought that was wrong. I didn't see that she ever proved that Oprah stepped on anyone to get where she is. I think she proved that Oprah was smart, that Oprah was quite a businesswoman, that Oprah, in doing what she did, she was She was calculating every step, it seemed. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think most of us don't, and we probably should in business think very carefully about our associations and our connections and how we're going to move forward and have a team in place that knows how to put us, you know, where we're trying to go. And so I think she showed that Oprah was a mastermind at knowing when to disconnect, when to connect, when to take the next leap. You know, and it also showed Oprah had failures. You know, the movie Beloved was probably one of her greatest failures. But it was something she was very passionate about. But it showed most people did not have the same passion for the movie. I don't think most people ever really got the movie, which was very hurtful to her. But at the same time, whatever she seemed to believe in, it seemed like she threw everything behind. It seemed like friendships. If she is your friend, she's your friend. You know, she had certain people that are in her life that she's friends with, and she shows them how much she loves them. Another thing I didn't think the book proved, I didn't think it proved that Stedman and Oprah's relationship wasn't real. You know, there were people who said, you know, that they had, you know, been around them for several years, you know, and that they'd never seen them be affectionate with each other. They'd never seen them hug or kiss or, you know, hold hands. But that doesn't say that a relationship doesn't exist. It just may be a different relationship than you're used to. It didn't ever prove that, without a shadow of a doubt, it's just a stage. It's just a good-looking man walking beside Oprah. I didn't think the book ever proved that. So Kitty Kelly was phenomenal in her writing style. Again, I'm not trying to sell her book. But I think there were things that I thought she proved, and then I thought there were things that she did not prove. That was one of the reasons I wanted so badly to get the Vernon Winfrey interview. I went after it with everything I had. I was prepared to go to Nashville. I spoke with Mr. Winfrey's wife, Barbara Winfrey, extensively about, you tell me when and where, and I will be in Nashville with my camera, with my audio recorder, and I will come down there. I will feed you the questions ahead of time. I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to ask Mr. Winfrey. There won't be any tricks to it. And after five conversations with her, like I said, the last conversation lasting 3 hours, I just knew that this was going to happen. But I wasn't sure at the end of all those conversations with Mr. Winfrey's wife that I'm very careful to say this. I'm not sure that I understood why she told me some of the things that she told me, but yet she said, everything's off the record. So because I'm a person of my word, I'm not going to divulge what she told me. But, you know, she asked me at one point, was she being recorded? And she was never recorded because, again, I'm a person of my word. But I question why she would talk to me 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours and 10 minutes, and then 3 hours, and then not want me to put any of it on the record. But in talking with her, I read the book exclusively, and there were things I thought that she told me that some things were in the book and other things were, in fact, not in the book. And so I'm not sure why she provided the information, yet she, you know, said is off the record. But for whatever reason, that was the case, that was the case. But I'm still interested in talking with Mr. Winfrey if he'll ever give me the interview. I would love to know why he did speak with Kitty Kelly about Oprah in the book. I'd love to know what was the agreement between the two of them. Did he understand, you know, or was he just an older man who was hot at Oprah about a conversation that they had had about his book? And, in fact, Kitty Kelly's timing was just phenomenal. She caught him on the cuff of that, and he expressed probably some frustration, and probably later, I would hope, regretted it. But that will be for Vernon Winfrey to tell. But I do understand that he has a completed book in which he's talking about his life, coming from Mississippi to Nashville, and, you know, how many brothers and sisters he had and how hard it was back then and how he overcame all of that and moved to Nashville and, you know, did what he did, raised Oprah, that type of thing. So, again, if he ever wants to come on Center Stage and have that interview with me, the door is always open. But I'll close in saying that the book, as thick as it is, I don't know that it took 500 pages to say what was said. I think it showed the strength of an Oprah. It showed that, you know, you can't knock her down. I mean, seriously, she'll just keep getting back up. It shows that she's a fighter and a survivor. It showed that no matter what was thrown in front of her, some kind of way she would take it and deal with it. You know, she was never one that you could keep her down. You know, she always strived to be the best at what she did, and I think that has shown over the years because she's outlasted so many. And so, in closing, I'll just say it was a good read. It proved some things. It didn't prove others. It proved that Kitty Kelly was a great writer, but it did not prove some of the things that I told you it didn't prove. I would not tell anybody to go buy the book. What I paid for it, I really wish I had paid like half of that. But it also showed me how Oprah came from nothing and rose to what she is today. So it was a great blueprint in that instance for a person like myself trying to do what I do, to show me how to get around some of the obstacles that will come up in journalism and how to know what to say and what not to say, because people can take what you say out of context and that type of thing. So I learned a lot. I learned Oprah's story. I learned how to be a great businesswoman in this field. And so for that, I'm grateful that I read the book. But in closing, thank you for tuning in to another segment of Center Stage. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/KerriHines, KHERIHINES. Also, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on MySpace. And on MySpace, it's myspace.com/RealityTVWriter. Again, thank you for tuning in to another segment of Center Stage. It's been my pleasure to discuss this book with you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night.